Today, as Americans, we celebrate our 234th birthday. On July 4th in 1776, 56 members of the Continental Congress, representing 13 colonies, signed the Declaration of Independence, proclaiming autonomy. It was a culmination of a political process that began as a protest against Britain's oppression of colonial trading, manufacturing, and political liberty. Ultimately, the signing of the Declaration led to the Revolutionary War and to the birth of the United States. If you've studied American history at all, you know that there was no question that the colonists were justified with their grievances. The British Redcoats were stealing from the American settlers. They were abusing them and imposing exorbitant taxes upon them. And there wasn't much help from the courts because they were corrupt and influenced with bribes. That is why the colonists revolted and chartered the Declaration of Independence, in which they listed the grievances they had against the British rule and stated the reason that they wanted to be free. The stand that these 56 signers took against British opposition is not well known, but it should be. I want to read for you one sentence from the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Here's what it says. "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." To most of us, that statement seems harmless or benign, and it doesn't raise our blood pressure at all. But to the signers of that declaration, it did more than just raise their blood pressure. Let me tell you what happened to some of those 56 signers to the Declaration of Independence. Five of the signers were captured by the British as traitors, and they were tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. Do you know why our forefathers were willing to risk their lives by signing the Declaration of Independence? They believed that freedom was infinitely more desirable than slavery and bondage. Freedom was worth fighting for. Patrick Henry, who is called the firebrand of the American Revolution, is still remembered for his words, "Give me liberty or give me death." But there's more to what he said than just that. Listen to this. Here's what he said, the whole part of it. "An appeal to arms and the God of hosts is all that is left us. But we shall not fight our battle alone. There is a just God that presides over the destinies of nations. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death." The Americans, when they were fighting this war, they were totally outnumbered. I've been watching on Discovery Channel, and I didn't know this until I was watching. The U.S. had no battleships at all, not a single one. The British Army had 100 man of war that they could fight with. And yet, they, even against such stacked odds, they were willing to fight for what they believed in. In America, we enjoy many freedoms. We have freedom of speech, freedom to worship, just to name a couple of them. In a speech to Congress on July 6, 1941, Franklin D. Roosevelt shared his vision of what the world would look like after World War II. He laid out the basic freedoms for all people. There was the freedom of speech, freedom of worship, the freedom from want, the freedom from fear. What the president did not mention was spiritual freedom. And today, as we celebrate our Independence Day and our freedom as a country, we also want to celebrate our freedom as Christians. The one freedom that the president did not mention was spiritual freedom. But that is the very kind of freedom that Jesus is talking about when he talks in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Yes, I'm going to try it. I brought my glasses up. I'm going to try it without them. Here's what he says, John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The Message puts it like this in verse 36. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Many Christians do not know this freedom because they are still living a life of defeat rather than a life of abundance. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." So Christ has come to set us free, to set us free from Satan. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." The Contemporary English Bible puts it this way: God rescued us from the dark power of Satan and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Satan's dominion is described as darkness. Darkness represents evil and abject slavery. Jesus Christ purchased our freedom and their freedom with his death on the cross. Acts 26, 17 and 18 says, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Did you know that you and I, we have the key to help set those free who are in the bondage of sin? It is the truth. It is the gospel that will set them free. You may be asking, how? How do we do that? Well, did you know that in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, we're given a formula on how we can defeat Satan. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. So Christ has come to give us freedom from Satan, but He's also come to give us freedom from sin. Romans 7:14 says that man was sold as a slave to his sins. And that was when he obeyed Satan. When each one of us obeyed Satan, we have become a slave to the very things that we have obeyed. Let's say we get together 20 of the best broad jumpers or long jumpers. And we take them down to Southern California to Huntington Beach. And we line them up on the pier and we say, we want you to run and jump as far out there as you can. And so they line up and they get on the pier and they run. And they run to the very end of the pier and they run and they jump as far as they can. Some of them go 25 feet. Some of them may even get close to the record of 27 feet. Who knows? Maybe one of them will even break the record and go 29 or 30 feet. The thing with that is, not one of them could jump to Catalina Island. Because down off of the pier in Huntington Beach, Catalina Island is out there, and it is 26 miles away. Yeah, it is humanly impossible. Not a single one would make it. Every person would miss the mark because the island is so far away. Did you know that in Romans 3:23, there is a universal statement that God gives to all men, all of us, when He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. We are all in need of the saving grace of God. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. How? How is it that we've been set free from sin and we become slaves to righteousness? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8:1 makes it abundantly clear that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer slaves. The power of sin is broken, and we are no longer under sin's control. So Christ has come to set us free from Satan. He has come to set us free from sin. He has also come to set us free from the scars. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But salvation makes us new people. It makes us a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." We are made new when we accept Christ. Galatians 5:1 admonishes those of us who are renewed. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." It goes on in verse 13 and says, "You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature." So Christ has come to set us free from Satan, set us free from sin, set us free from the scars, so that we can have the freedom to be saintly. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk under the control of the Spirit, and we no longer will be forced to live in bondage to the desires of the flesh." We can now shake off those old bad habits. We can live up to our dreams and our potentials and become all that God has planned for us to be. Titus 2:11 and 12 says, "The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust." It teaches that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 18 says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." We are free to become all that the Lord wants us to be and has planned for us to be. And He can make it happen in us. There was once a sage who lived a secluded life up in the mountains. And there were two foolish men who plotted to discredit him in the eyes of his followers. So they came before the wise man with a test. And the test was this. One of them said, "Old man, I hold a sparrow in my hand. If you are so wise, is this sparrow alive or dead?" Their plan was that if he answered alive, the guy was going to crush it and then open his hand and there was the dead sparrow. If he said the sparrow was dead, he would open his hand and the bird would fly away. The audience was silent as they awaited the old man's answer. Finally, he said, "Son, its life is in your hands." The life of freedom in Christ Jesus is in your hands today. You can crush it, or you can set it free. You can kill it with mediocrity and lukewarmness, or you can possess it with courage and conviction. It all depends on the action that you take. Some of you have made this declaration, and that was at the point of conversion. And some of you here may not have. In your bulletins that you had, there was a sheet of paper, a half sheet of paper. And on one side, there is the Declaration of Christian Independence. And it goes through, and it talks about freedoms that we have in Christ, and gives a scripture verse that goes with that. On the other side is kind of an outline. Instead of doing an outline where you had to fill in, I did this outline for you. And there is an outline there kind of the message of the things that I have already gone through. And at the very end of that one, there is what would be commonly called as a sinner's prayer. A prayer that if you have never received this freedom that Christ talks about, this freedom in Christ Jesus, you can pray that prayer. And you can have that freedom. You can be set free from Satan, from sin, and from the scars. And you can be set free to live this life that God has called for us to live. I call you to enlist in the war and break with sin. What better time than now? Today, as a country, we celebrate our Independence Day. If you have never ever done this, today you could celebrate your Independence Day from sin. It could be your Declaration Day. As Pam Shaw so rightly said, if you take too long in deciding what to do with your life, you'll find that you've already done it. How true that is. If you don't make a decision, in the end, you will have already made the decision. That's what we're doing today. Today we celebrate, as a country, we celebrate our Independence Day. In a few moments, we're going to invite the kids to come and join us. And that's going to be fun as we do this transition with getting the kids in here. And we're going to celebrate communion. So, I don't know how we're getting the kids in here, but they're going to come through. So, would somebody... I know it's going to be a little bit of a distraction, but I got things. I don't know if somebody was running over there to get them or... I get them. I just yell at them. Hey, Barb! Can you bring the kids on up? Hey, Colin, go ahead and start the video. Okay, kids, we're going inside to join all the parents right now. Bring the bubbles with you. That's all good. All right, hopefully that wasn't way too distracting to get kids in here. What I do need, can we get the, there you go. Thanks, Sean, just a little bit. I do need help from some of the children who just came in, but we'll need to check. I have some stuff here, and toward the end of the service, kids or kids at heart, would you be willing to pull a string and throw confetti all over the place? So, children, today, as a country, we celebrate our Independence Day. It was 234 years ago that our country was free from all kinds of bad things that were happening to us. And what we also want to do today is today we want to celebrate communion. And communion is a time when we can celebrate that Christ has set us free. He has set us free from Satan and from sins. And so here at Richmond Community Church in the Churches of God, this is going to get crowded, so I'm going to have to move some things out of the way. We have open communion. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have asked Him to come in and take control of your life, then you are welcome to take communion with us. And in a few minutes, we'll take communion. But I want to share with you a real brief story. It's a story of an eagle that was captured at a very young age. And the farmer who captured it, he put a restraint on its ankle. And he let it roam around in his barnyard with all the other chickens. And this eagle, eventually, he got to the point where he was willing to walk around with all the chickens and kind of scratch the ground and peck and get his food that way. One day, there was a shepherd. And the shepherd came to the barnyard and he saw this eagle. And he said to the farmer, "It's such a shame that such a beautiful animal is stuck here on the ground. You should release it and let it fly." So the farmer said, "Okay, let's do it." And they cut the restraints off the eagle. But the eagle had become so used to walking around, he continued to walk around just like the chickens and scratch the ground and peck for his food there. So the shepherd took the eagle and set him up on a rock wall. And for the first time in months, this eagle had been able to see the blue sky and the yellow, bright, shiny sun. And eventually he flapped his wings and he took off into flight and flew like an eagle would fly. The thing is, if you are going to soar, if you're going to do what God has intended for you to do, you have to break away from the barnyard. You have to get out of the barnyard and get up into the sky where God has intended for you to be. You cannot live in both places. You have to come out and you have to be separate from the barnyard. We as Christians have to come out and be separate from the world, accepting Jesus Christ. What we're going to do for communion is I do have a video that we're going to show in a few minutes for the communion. And what I wanted to do is I set this up, and I'll take full responsibility for it. I have the flag here so that you can remember the independence that we have as a country and the freedoms that are there because of men and women who are willing to fight and die so that we can have the freedom. I brought the cross down. Normally it's back there. I brought the cross out so you can remember that Jesus Christ was willing to hang and die on a cross and pay the price for each one of your sins. Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, probably not near as brittle as this one, and he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And at the same time, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." And Christ was willing to do that. He was willing to suffer and to die because he loved us. He was willing to pay the price so that each and every one of us could be free. That's what we do when we take communion, is we do it in remembrance of the suffering of what Christ had done and what Christ has done for each one of us. So Colin, in just a couple seconds, he's going to do a video, and the video is on communion. It's a song, and you're more than welcome to come up at any time you want. There is no rush. We're in no rush to get out of here. You can come up as individuals. You can come up as a family. You can come up and the altars are here. You can stay here if you want. You can take them back to your seats if you want. Take communion as you see fit. They are here for you. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much that today, as Americans and as a country as whole, as America, we celebrate our birthday. Our Independence Day. But Father, even more than that, thank you so much that your Son was willing to step out of heaven and come down to this earth and live amongst us and tell us how great and how wonderful you are. And then eventually hang on a cross and suffer and die because he loved us so much, because you loved us so much. Thank you that he has risen from the dead 3 days later. He has conquered death, he has conquered sin, and he has conquered Satan. And because of that, we can have freedom. Father, if there is somebody here who does not know that freedom, today could be that day that they celebrate their Independence Day, their freedom. Father, thank you for the cups that are here. Thank you for the bread, because it reminds us of the price that was paid for our freedom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
This is the body, and this is the blood, broken and poured out for all of us. And in this communion, we share in His love. This is the body, and this is the blood. Well, I will remember everything, Lord, that you've done for me. I won't take for granted the sacrifice that set me free. I hunger and thirst for your love. Come fill me today. This is the body, this is the blood, broken and poured out for our love. This is the blood. This is the blood.